Hey, Greta.
Hi.
Hi, it's Jeffrey.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Yeah, nice to see you. Nice to hear from you.
Well,
again.
I guess you're in New York.
Actually, I live in West Hollywood, and I've been pretty much basing myself here, but I do go back to New York a lot.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
You still living in Chinatown?
Yeah, no, I'm living in the Village right now, but at the moment I'm at the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills, so.
Okay.
Yeah, looking at the L.A. skyline.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got to tell you how impressed I was by a name brand, famous actress, really accomplished actress like yourself. And I'm in the film forum with my girlfriend, and there you are, sitting and watching an Antonioni film. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen a famous person do.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I just feel lucky that I live in New York and they show those movies and I can go see them on the big screen.
Yeah.
It seems like it would be a waste not to do it, but yeah, it's nice about living there too and seeing movies is you feel like you know the people you see them with. You know, you start to get to know the crowd at Film Forum or like Museum of Moving Image, and they seem, or the anthology, and you're like, I know you people. We're in the same, like we're on the same bus tour.
Yeah. So you're not far from the Film Forum, so that's, you go there whenever something pops up. Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I go there a lot. I mean, they have such a good repertory, and I guess the last one I saw was when they did, they had Hiroshima Mon Amour there for a while.
Oh, yeah, right.
I saw that, and I don't know what's up there right now, but yeah, I love Film Forum. They're great.
I really wanted to, I've been wanting to find out about when the untitled public school project would surface, because I thought maybe that might be the surprise at the New York Film Festival, because everybody had, of course, seen, everybody likes Noah's other film. What's wrong with me? I just blanked on it.
While We're Young.
Yes, While We're Young.
Yes.
But I thought, well this will be cool. Maybe he'll show the thing he did with Greta, and then they didn't.
Yeah.
So what's going on with that?
It exists. I think your curiosity will be sated shortly.
Okay.
Sometime
within the next 4 months or something, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe Cannes or something.
Yeah, it'll be in the world in no time at all. There was sort of like a movie traffic jam a little bit, but I think just because of this never happens, but it was kind of because of the way we make this. This one and Francis, and the way While We're Young is made more officially. We had, with Francis, it's the same thing of, you know, we take as much time as we need to finish them. So that means, you know, we'll go back and shoot other things, or like we're not as quite as beholden to, I guess, a traditional timeline in that way.
Right.
And that's what's kind of special about them, is that they can exist when they're ready to exist. But yeah, there was a While We're Young ended up going first. But it wasn't, when I say first, there really isn't any first or second, because we make them over such a longer period of time.
Is there a title to it now?
There is, but I'm not revealing it.
Okay.
At the moment, there's a title. There's a whole. It's a movie. So.
And it's but it's definitely done and wrapped, and everything's coming together, and we'll see the sale. That's great. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to. You know, I don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched. But
okay.
Yeah, pretty. It'll be in the next few months.
Before we talk about the Barry's film, can you just give me the genesis of how you got into that fascinating live music thing that you did at the MTV Music Awards?
Oh, the YouTube Awards, yeah.
That was wonderful. I loved it.
Me too. Spike just, Spike had written me a very sweet email about Francis, and then he was working on this, and he thought of me, and he was sort of like, "Do you have any interest in just spending? We'd spend like a week working on it, and then we'd do it. And what do you think?" And I'm a fan of Arcade Fire, and I love Spike, and honestly, it was as fun to make as it looked like it would be. And we started working on it, you know, we put it together in something like 7 days. I mean, Spike was orchestrating the whole shebang, but the dance and the whole thing, it was really, he has a quality about him that I think probably everybody would attest to. He makes you feel like you just want to go out and make things. He's very infectious that way because he approaches everything with this almost childlike openness. And while we were making this, he has very strong opinions and ways he wants it done or the way he thinks it should look. But it also makes you feel like, let's just go grab a camera and start shooting things. And it's nice to be around. And I think it's also the energy of something like a music video, which he's done a lot of, where you don't, you know, it's about, it can be a moment of magic and one magical idea that you play out, as opposed to, it can just really be about that moment, I guess, which is kind of exciting because it's just a different form.
And your hair was brownish when you did that thing, and your hair is brownish, so that's your natural hair is blondish, right?
Yeah, my natural hair color is blonde, but I had dyed my hair brown for Barry's movie,
right.
Actually without telling him.
Why did you do that? What was the impulse or thought about that?
You know, I mean, I was cast on a Monday, and I was due to start shooting on Friday, and I had these very strong impulses that I felt that I needed to follow through on in order to stake my territory for the part. And so, and I just had this vision of her having dark brown, almost black hair, and I did, and then I just went and did it. I went and I dyed my hair, and I didn't tell Barry I was going to do it, and I showed up on set, and he said, "What have you done to your hair?" And then I said, "You're going to have to live with it," because I felt like I needed to channel the kind of woman who would be like Pegeen and kind of ruthless and unapologetic. And I think there was something about it, I think, that allowed me to get in quickly, which I needed to do. And, you know, I don't know, I probably could have found a way to do it without that, but it was a shorthand for me. And I think that's what's hard when you're cast in movies and you have very little time to prepare. I always feel like I need to find something to hang on to quickly, otherwise I feel like it'll be more of a sketch and less lived in, which is always the danger when you don't have the time to prepare. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes these indie movies, you just so happen so fast.
Yeah. I really hear you about you were spoken to, you heard a voice, and that told you that that was the way to do this thing. That was the way in. That was a way.
Yes.
And those voices, as you know, they don't shout, they don't grab you by the lapels, they're just little tiny voices, and they kind of tap you on the shoulder, right?
Yeah.
And that's what it is with me, you know, when you hear...
No, that's true. It's funny because you don't want to... I mean, I think any time I've not listened to the little voice that told me to do something, it always ends up wrong. But I don't know whether it's gut feeling or instinct, but I think, but the tricky part is I think you have to listen to them, but then you have to, in a way you have to, it's like it's a two-part thing. I think you have to listen to whatever unconscious part of you is guiding you, and then bring the grown-up conscious part of yourself in order to form it, either in life choices or in writing or in acting a part. I think you have to honor both sides, because otherwise nothing will ever get done. But you can't deny the little voice. The little voice gets very angry if you deny it.
That's really smart what you just said. I really agree with you on that. That's really quite wise. Hey, by the way, I was asking Al where the house was. It's in Reading somewhere, right? Isn't that it?
The house that we were shooting at?
Yeah, it's Barry's house, right? Somewhere in Reading.
It was in Connecticut. It was in, I want to say, it wasn't New Canaan, but it was near New Canaan. It was in a town...
Richfield or something, or Wilton? Or?
You know, it was a dry town. It's actually a dry, there aren't any bars there, or liquor stores.
That's Wilton.
Yeah, that's Wilton.
You know who comes from there is Paul Dano.
Really?
Yeah, he went to high school there, as I did.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh my God, Connecticut's beautiful.
It's very white.
It's like idyllic. It's funny when a place actually lives up to what you think it will be. When we drove out there, I thought, oh, this is why people love Connecticut, it's beautiful.
You got something that happened during the shoot that, you're a good, you're a real artist in that you listen to moments and you build upon them and you listen to the voices. Did something happen scene-wise, any particular scene that turned out a lot better, a lot more interesting than you... anticipated when you were reading the script? Anything like, any surprises, good surprises happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think so much of it was so fast that it's hard to sometimes even distinguish, but I think for me, the first moment of realizing that there was something alive underneath it that had some gas in the tank, I guess, was we shot the very last scene first, or my last scene, at his opening, when I go to his opening and then I end up yelling at him and leaving, and that was my first day was shooting that scene, and I think maybe it was because it was seemed so daunting to try to capture that last moment on the first day out. I really went after Al very quickly, and it was mean. I was telling him he was a fraud and a terrible actor, and that every good idea he had dried up 20 years. And I was like yelling this stuff at him. And then I think that my moment of realizing it was just different was I realized I had these very vicious high heels on, and I took them off and I threw them at him, and he looked at me with shock because I really was throwing my heels at him. And that was when it felt kind of like, it was a good moment of feeling like, oh, I'm not making these choices, something bigger than me is kind of guiding it, which is always a good thing. And he looked, but it was nice because I felt like then he jumped into this incredibly high gear, and then Barry was just yelling at the camera guys to try to get the whole scene, because there were two cameras going the whole time, and it was about getting it. So that was sort of, it started with a bang of, it just, I guess, instantly felt like we owned it. Like, we weren't trying to execute it. We were letting it course through us.
Hey, you writing something? You got anything that?
Yeah, I'm writing so many things, and I feel like it always makes me sound like I'm lying, but I am. I'm writing a bunch of things, actually. I'm writing, doing a bunch of projects like on my own. I wrote the next movie I did with Noah with him, but I've got things that I'm writing.
What do you mean the next
solo
one? You mean
the one that we're done with.
Oh, I mean, we talked about, right.
Yeah, the way we wrote Francis together, right. The Untitled Public Schools, we wrote together.
When you say you're writing things, you mean things for the screen, or are you doing any narrative?
Things for the screen.
Okay.
I mean, I'd love to write a play still, because I think that was always something that was a real love for me, but I'm infatuated with movies, and I get so angry every time I look at the short list of the Academy Awards, and it's all men writing and directing, and then I see like Ava DuVernay or Angelina Jolie, and I'm like, go get it, girls, let's get in there.
Yeah.
Why is it all dudes?
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's some combination of a love of the art form combined with like anger that women are underrepresented, and so hopefully that gives me enough fire to go for it.
Women are underrepresented, and I got really thrilled. My latest thrill, big thrill, is Jennifer Kent. Have you heard about her?
No, who's she?
Australian, early 30s, and she's delivered one of the most brilliant little horror films, but it's very, very
really?
Sort of Roman Polanski-like. You know, there's no...
Oh, my God. What is it called?
The Babadook.
Oh, okay, I'm going to look it up right now. I can't wait.
And she's very, very... she's really got it. I mean, she's as good as, you know, Roman Polanski when he made Repulsion, which I'm sure you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
And on that, you know, everything's in camera. There's maybe a couple of little effects, but, you know, anyway.
Oh. That's so cool.
Yeah. So you gonna direct someday?
That's I'd love to. That's the plan.
You should.
It's gonna be.
I know you'd nail it. You know.
I don't want to jinx anything.
Yeah.
I'd give it my best effort when I did it. But I hope one day we get to talk about something that was written directed by me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe. We'll keep that our little secret.
Okay.
The publicist, I have to go do more of it, but it was nice to talk to you.
I'll see you in New York again.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.